Yeah. Cross up ready on the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
People changing up the game, oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is.
It's Car
now.
Talk with this radio, conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig, two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaging listeners on topic, discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors, ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room, it's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe in things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show, worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
Got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
Welcome to Crosstalk Radio. This is your man, Big Pudge.
Steph Swig.
Man, we got an awesome show for you today. We got a part one, might slide into a part two. And it's basically talking about the Holy Spirit. Who or what is the Holy Spirit? Where does it come from? Do we need it? Why is it here? You know, the whole nine when it comes to that. I've met a lot of people who feel like they can have, you know, they can love God and, you know all about Jesus, but totally neglect the Holy Ghost, you know. So we're going to talk about that today, you know. We're going to talk about that in length, you know what I'm saying? Steph, what you got for me?
Man, it's... Wow. It's a lot. Like, you know, I got different topics from what you got, but the thing is... We're going to talk about a lot of stuff in the show, and what me and Pudge talked about earlier is, like, you can't talk about one without talking about the other. So
right.
We will be talking about the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the difference between all three. I got a dope topic. Who are Christians supposed to pray to? Why do we pray to Jesus? Are we supposed to pray to Jesus? Are we supposed to pray to the Father? Are we supposed to pray to the Holy Spirit? What is the purpose? So we got a lot of good information, because there's a lot of confusion out there. So we want to tackle this, or at least attempt to tackle it, because it's still a complex topic, period.
True.
Period.
True. So I'm gonna start with just telling you a little something about the Holy Spirit. It's a third member of the Trinity, the God, the Holy Spirit. You know, as well. Let me first say these are not my words. So I just wanted to let you know these are not my words. It's a an article by Jack Wellman. So just want to give you the author's background. He says, God the Holy Spirit is a person.
Yes.
He is not. That touched you real good on that.
Because I was about to say, the Holy Spirit is a person. But
exactly.
Ahead,
exactly. But so we're going to give y'all clarity, people. It's the third member of the Trinity. God the Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a power, an effect, or just energy. God the Holy Spirit does have energy, limitless energy, on top of that. Can affect things and does have power, God's power. But he is much more than these attributes. Almost every single time that the New Testament mentions the Spirit, this is in direct reference to God, the Holy Spirit. There are three members of God, the family. This family includes God the Father, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, and God the Holy Spirit. Each member of the Trinity has a part in a person's coming to
saving faith in Jesus Christ. God the Father draws them. You can find that in John 6:44. Jesus saves them. You can find that in John 3:16. And the Holy Spirit tells us who that Savior is.
Yes.
Jesus, of course.
Confirms it.
Confirms it all. So, you got something after that?
Yeah, I actually do. I do. When it comes down to that, because every time, you know, I end up talking to a pre-believer, they always get hung up on the religious side of it. Mm-hmm. You know, they always want to argue the scriptures, argue this and that. How do you know Jesus is real? How do you know this is the truth? And a lot of times, they've been lied so many times, it's hard to really get through the programming to tell them the truth. But it's like, for me, it was never a convincing thing. No one had to convince me that Jesus was real. No one had to preach to me about it. Like I said, I was actually not running from God, but running from church. I didn't want nothing to do with people in church. I knew I was bound for hell, but that wasn't enough to make me want to change. Mm. But it wasn't until I had an encounter with the Holy Ghost. And it's like, as soon as I got that, and the only way I can describe it, to a non-believer, I guess it's kind of like, I don't know, you remember The Matrix when Neo's plugged into the chair?
Yeah.
And then he's like, do you know Kung Fu? He's like, no. And then they plug the thing into him, download it to him.
Download information.
Yeah. Like, it's like, that's how it felt for me. It's like when the Holy Spirit hit me and I knew that Christ was who he said he was and I accepted him, everything that I doubted, it was confirmed to me. Like, I didn't have to read the Bible to know that was God-inspired. Mm-hmm. And that's how I know the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that draws you into Christ and confirms it.
Right, right.
That's what I got on that.
Right. So, and it's funny you said that because that's the how you use the Matrix thing to download. I was watching somebody about 2 years ago, and that's what he kept saying. He kept saying, when God downloaded that information into my mind. And it's funny, he kept saying download.
But yeah.
What he was basically saying is when God gave me a vision.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of saying vision, the revelation, he used the word download.
Yep.
So it's funny you used that because I feel like that's something that, when God gives you instructions, I feel like it's a form of a download.
Exactly, you know, that's how it feels to me.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna talk a little bit about what the Holy Spirit does. You know, there's people that don't really understand what the Holy Spirit job is. People know, of course, who God is. A lot of people, they know who Jesus is, what he came to do. But a lot of people don't know what the Holy Spirit does or is, and don't really think they need him. And which is kind of crazy that you can feel like you don't need the Holy Spirit when Jesus said himself, I'm going to, you know, leave the comforter here when I leave, after he came
back.
And
Spirit of Truth, also referred to him as the Spirit of Truth.
Spirit of Truth, exactly.
And he said that's who will testify to confirm everything that he told you.
Exactly.
So it's like they go together. Like, you can't have, you know, it's crazy.
Right.
Well, go ahead, man.
So it's it's an article I was reading by Dawson McAllister. It's very, very interesting in the Holy Spirit, because it's impossible to follow God unless we are led by the Holy Spirit. And the only way to be led by the Spirit is to follow God's command to be filled by the Spirit. You can find that in Ephesians 5:18. Interestingly, God contrasts being filled with the Spirit with being drunk. Somebody who was drunk with wine or alcohol is controlled by, consumed by alcohol.
Yeah.
But somebody who was drunk in the Spirit is controlled and consumed by the Spirit, who helps us live holy lives. The Holy Spirit plays many roles, and you can read about all these roles in these passages. John 14:15-27, John 16:5-15, Romans 8:1-17, Galatians 5:16-26.
That's right. Get your word game up on
this
one, y'all.
Get your word game up, you know what I'm saying?
And
I make sure, and mind you, you can rewind this if you need to get them scriptures, yo, because we want y'all to know that this stuff is backed by scripture. This ain't just, you know, me and Steph just coming on top of our heads, just telling y'all stuff. So, you know, a lot of people that I know listen likes to research on their own, and they like to go on back and read on their own.
Yeah.
So we're going to always throw scriptures out there. We have stuff to biblically back up what it is we're talking about. So just an example, John 14, for example, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will comfort us when we are hurting. And he says, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus says in 14:18, promise that the Spirit will bring us peace. So in 14:27. So this is all the Holy Spirit that he's talking about. Jesus also says the Spirit will help us recall the things we've learned about in God, which is 14:26, which also means the Holy Spirit will help us when we tell others about our faith.
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit will actually help you when you come into the faith and you're letting everyone else know about who Christ is, what he's done for you, how he's died for all of us. See, Jesus let you know that. In John 16, Jesus refers to the Spirit as a counselor who will guide us in our everyday lives. Now, I know me. I need guidance every day of my life. Sometimes I need guidance every 10, 15 minutes.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So if Abba is who I serve, Yeshua is my big brother, then the Holy Spirit is what's actually implanted in me to help me keep walking that straight path that God needs me to walk on mm-hmm. every day. I guess, you know, to me, it seems self-explanatory to me, you know what I'm saying, how the order actually works. So where I leave off. One way he'll guide us is by convicting us of sin. And that's John. That's verse 18 in John 16. All right,
before you go further with that,
go ahead.
I agree. That's dope. Can you explain what it means to be convicted by the Holy Spirit?
Convicted by the Holy Spirit, I guess let me say this. You're in a store and you just don't feel like paying for what it is you have. You done bought you a little candy bar and whatnot, and you know you can easily steal that candy bar. And it's not going to be hard to steal it at all. You know, mm-hmm. you got a full clarity. You know, before you slide it right in your pocket. The minute you slide it in your pocket and get to walking around, you start feeling real bad. Now, nobody knows that you got it. Nobody knows that you stole it. You completely in the clear, but you feel bad. Like, you feel like, Dad, this is wrong, and I shouldn't be, you know. Yeah. That's called conviction. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you, letting you know the difference between right and wrong, and pretty much convicting you to let. It's making you feel bad to let you know what you're doing at that time isn't right.
So, in a sense, it's kind of like a conscience.
Exactly.
Kind of like your conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, because when people hear conviction, they kind of mix conviction with being condemned.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
So I want to dive into that more, but I agree.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, it's hard to really explain, but that's basically, I think you hit the nail on that.
Yeah, because I wanted to give a pretty much a basic layman term example so that people can truly understand. Like, you know, how people sometimes say, another example would be when somebody be like, man, my gut is telling me this. My gut is telling me, and now that's the Holy Ghost telling you something.
It is.
That's the Holy Spirit, like you letting you know something ain't right. Letting you know there's something happy going on. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? That inner feeling that you always get. It is the Holy Spirit that is working in you and just like dealing with you. Either it's trying to guide. Mm-hmm. It's always trying to guide you in the right direction.
Yes.
So you need to always understand that the Holy Spirit is always there to help, and it's always what we, as you know, I'm an unorthodox church person, but I'm still churchy. I've been to church all my life, and as the church folks say, you know, saying he's a comforter, you know, he's a gentleman is mm-hmm. the word that they use. He's a gentleman. He's not put up to put you on blast and stuff like that. Like, he wants you to want him.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the main thing. Like, and everything that God does, he could have forced everything on us, mm-hmm. but it's the fact that he wants us to receive him. He wanted us to receive his son. Now he wants us to receive the Holy Spirit as well. It's all want, that free will.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to that, he can't force it, because then it's not a choice anymore.
Ooh, it's funny you said that. I didn't even read this step. You hit the nail on the head.
Wow, look at that.
Look, you said kind of like a conscience.
Yeah.
God wants us to get rid of the things that displeases him, and the only way to identify those things is to be convicted by the Spirit. The Spirit works through our conscience to make us aware of sin in our lives.
Amen.
That's dope.
End the show.
No.
Yeah, amen. I agree.
That's dope, because you had just said that earlier.
That's what I wanted to say. It's like before you get saved, even after you get saved, as you grow in the Holy Spirit, there's some things that you used to be cool with. That from now on, that now you start to feel like, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I should have held my tongue differently. Maybe I should have gave an extra dollar. Anything. It could be anything that you used to be cool with. For me, I was going to strip clubs before I got saved. Not justified. Tried to.
Right.
Didn't feel no form of remorse at all.
Right.
As soon as I got saved, like, I got to. It wasn't even about, I got to stop this because I'm a Christian. I was like, I got to stop this because it's just wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
and some part of you starts to really feel bad about that. You know, yeah, so, it's just, don't run from that feeling, people. It's not, you know, and trust me, you'll know, because it's really when, you'll know it's the Holy Ghost when nobody knows you about to do something wrong.
Yeah, that too.
Absolutely nobody knows. Yeah. So that doesn't mean you told your best friend, and your best friend was like, all right, you can go ahead and do that, but you shouldn't be doing, like, nobody knows nothing. Only person know is Abba, and that's because he knows your thoughts mm-hmm. before you even think them. You know, and if you're feeling heavy conviction, it ain't got to be heavy. You feeling like this ain't something I'm supposed to be doing. That is the Holy Ghost correcting you all day long. Previously, like, God always give us a way of escape before we do things that we're not supposed to be doing. True. And he always, it's an avenue, a door, or something, a conversation.
Car won't start something every single time.
And, you know, God will never take our free will away from us because he is a man of his word. So he gives us the free will still to take heed to them signs or to keep doing what you want to do. You just have to know that when you feel conviction that you still do something anyway. The world calls it karma, which that is very true, but it's going to come back on you.
Yeah.
Like, you and the word, yeah, the world calls it karma, reaping what you sow, and the word is like planting seeds. You planted a good seed or a bad seed. Mm. Either way it go, it's going to grow, you know, whether you like it or not. And
so what you put out there does come back to you.
I just told somebody that this morning, you tired of being disrespected. I'm like, well, honestly, it's because of the amount of disrespect you put out all these years.
Yeah.
And you thought it was all good because 5 years straight, Joey, we weren't being disrespected. Now, all of a sudden, you feel like everybody disrespecting you. There is no time limit on when stuff comes back to bite you in the behind.
True.
You know what I'm saying? It could be 20, 30 years later before it hits you.
So make sure you plant a lot more good seeds than bad seeds.
Right. Yeah. And then you know, those bad seeds that grow, me personally, I don't think you can stop them from growing. But what you can do is pray to the Lord that he lessens the blows as they grow. Yeah. You know, especially when you've already, you know, asked for forgiveness and repented for whatever it was, and you literally have let it go and found mm-hmm. peace with it. You know, that doesn't mean that, you know, just because you found peace with it, that seed is still not going to grow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
it's still consequences for stuff we do. And they're not discriminatory. Like the Bible says, God reigns on the just and the unjust.
Right.
So, whatever, if you plant seeds, period.
Period.
If you plant squash, you grow on squash. You plant hatred, you grow on hatred. You plant money, you grow on money.
Right.
So whatever you plant, it comes back.
Right.
That's a guarantee. It's not just even a hope, wish, prayer. It is coming back. You cannot outpray a spiritual law, principle mm-hmm. rather. Principle.
Got you. And just to let people know, and I'm talking to my pre-believers, that does not exclude pastors, bishops, apostles. They all fall in the same line as us regular old human beings do that don't have those titles or those callings. We are all, God doesn't see any different. If you ask me if he does see any different, I see them being held to a higher standard.
Yeah, the Bible talks about that.
Yeah, they're held to a higher standard because they have a flock. They have a flock that they have to lead. So their repercussions is always 10 times worse. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And which is why I'm so thankful that he ain't called me to be no pastor, apostle, or bishop, or none of that. Because I just, you know, let me stay in my little lane and do what you want me to do for your kingdom. You know what I'm saying?
He hasn't called you yet, or you just haven't answered the phone. You don't hear the phone ringing yet.
It took me a long time to speak when he was ringing my phone for 12 years for one calling. You know what I'm saying? But I realized through my experience, running only prolongs what it is he has mm-hmm. to do for you. And then you take yourself through a whole lot he never meant for you to go through because you're running.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give y'all, Romans 8 tells us the Spirit will help us stop sinning and do the things that pleases God. A verse later in the chapter also tells us that the Spirit helps us pray. That's Romans 8:26. We've all gone to God and said, Lord, I'm just not sure how to pray or what to say. The Holy Spirit helps us in those times and actually intercedes for us, saying the prayer for us. Now, that part I love.
Mm-hmm.
I literally love that. There's times where you don't even know what to say to God, but your spirit knows what to say to him.
Yeah.
So even when you're not actually speaking, the Holy Spirit is talking to God on your behalf.
On your behalf.
And I find that, I was about to say the same thing. I just find that really dope that's what that is. So some other scriptures are, how can you tell if you're being led by the Holy Spirit? By the fruit of your life. Man, that's good.
Okay.
And fruit is, in parentheses, fruit of your life. Your attitudes and actions, which Galatians 5:22-23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are these things evident in your life?
Sometimes.
and we only human because, you know, it's not, I can't say all nine of those things are evident every single day of my life. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'll be lying to the whole world if I said
that. It's a constant struggle.
Right, right. And two verses later, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So live by, you know, and you know, it's another verse that says, try the Spirit by the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? So it's these things where, you know, God don't want you to be a fool in these things. You know what I'm saying? If it's some things that you don't understand, ask Him. Yeah. You know, and the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you into exactly what it is that He actually wants you to know, feel, do, and just be know, people, that the Holy Spirit, He leads you, He guides you, not just in things to do that's right or wrong, but He leads you and guides you in your everyday life. Like, you know, that people may think that's a little far-fetched, but there's times where I get up and say, all right, what am I supposed to wear today? What colors do you want me to wear today? When I'm driving, do you want me to take a right or a left? You know what I'm saying? And there's always an unction that lets you know what it is He wants you to do.
Yeah.
But this comes from establishing a real relationship with the Lord. Like, you have to have a real relationship with Him. And when I say real relationship, I mean communicate with Him.
Man, I was going to talk about
that. Yeah, communicate with Him. That's reading His word. Okay, so somebody like me, I read His word, and when I see something I don't understand, I openly ask Him audibly right then and there.
Yeah.
As if He was sitting across from me, or He was in the dialect sitting in the room with me. Mm-hmm. I ask a question, and it's one of the things where I may not get the answer right then and there, but I throw it out there because, Lord, You know, there's a curiosity of mine. I know You're going to give me an answer sooner or later, you know, but right now I'm going to ask You because I'm focusing on something else, but that raises another question.
Yeah.
That could possibly start a whole nother study.
Exactly.
For me. That's exactly how me and you do anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if you want to say something, man. There are five reasons on why you really need the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
I'll
jump in a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I know we talked about the conviction, and he talked a little bit about the guidance, and I want to talk about how you know the Holy Spirit's talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think it comes with, Pudge says, having a relationship. Of course, if we are together, like if I'm married and I talk to my wife every day, she knows the moves I'm going to make. She knows my voice. If I talk to her once every year, mm-hmm. it's going to be hard for her to decipher my voice over everybody else's voice. Because mm-hmm. even though you are a believer, you still have other voices that you have to tune out.
Yes, you do.
And I'm not saying in a crazy sense. I'm just saying your own negative thoughts. You know, you got demonic attacks coming. Mm-hmm. You got your preconceived notions. Because once you get saved, you're still deprogramming how you was taught worldly.
Exactly.
So if you're newly saved, the best way I can tell you is to continue to talk to God, of course. But the main way you can know it's the Holy Spirit. If it lines up with the Word of God, that's your confirmation. Like, the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit's not going to tell you to go cheat on your wife.
Right.
Now, right. What I mean by that, those other voices can be emotions. Your feelings get hurt. We get in our feelings quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, at the time, it seems like, well, she cheated on me. I can go out and cheat on her. I can cuss her. I can do this. I can do that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, that's not the Holy Spirit.
Right. That's you.
Yeah. Now, there's been mm-hmm. times I've been, when I've totally lost control, I was like, Holy Spirit, I'm out of control. Lord, I'm out of control. I need your help. I need your help because I'm about to do something stupid right now.
Right.
He's always, every single time, 110% of the time, he's always came through, whether it be a phone call from somebody saying something I need to hear, or a mm-hmm. sermon, or something in the song, or just a random thought that I never had. Like, you know, you're right. I'm tripping in this situation.
Right, right.
So, but when the Holy Spirit talks to me, I typically don't hear an audible voice. A lot of people, when I was coming up in church, you hear the pastor say, God told me this, God told me that. It's like, I don't hear from God like that. It's mm-hmm. the way they sound, a lot of times it sounds like people hear an audible voice saying, you go here, you do this, you say that. Mm-hmm. I don't hear voices like that. It's a thought in my mind that I can't get out, and mm-hmm. it comes with a certain feeling that I get when I know it's the Holy Spirit. Like, to me, it's an overwhelming feeling. Like, I have to do this. I have to get this out. I have to stop doing this. Like, it's like, I can't function if I can't do this. Like, I could be reading the Bible and God to give me a message I need to do on a switch coin or something. Like, I have to stop reading the Bible to write them out. God, okay. And I go back to read the Bible. Okay, God, okay, it's you. Okay,
right,
let me listen.
Right.
It's like, it's an overwhelming feeling. So if you're really in tune with the Holy Spirit, it typically overwhelms the thoughts that you have, and it usually will line up it lines up with God's word.
Right.
Like, it might be an unorthodox thing, but it's not gonna, it won't, let me say, and it's kind of hard to describe with line up with God's word. What I'm saying is, it won't violate God's word.
There you go.
Because I've heard people say they was led by the Holy Spirit. I heard a testimony. Mm-hmm. They said they was led by the Holy Spirit to give this person at the bus stop pocket lint. Lint out of their pocket. So that's not the Bible. That's wow. what I mean. Yeah. And they's like, okay, God, you sure you want me to get this person pocket lint? This is a true story.
Wow.
You want me to get him lint out of my pocket? This stranger I never met.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God they listened. So they gave, he's like, look, I'm sorry. I don't know if they said, I'm sorry. Look, excuse me. I know this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants me to give this to you. And they had him pocket lint at the bus stop, right?
Okay.
And the person that received the pocket lint was amazed. They said, wow, this is just what I needed. And they had just got through praying, or they've been praying. They're like, God, if you're out there, I need you to do something really outlandish. Let me know that you are real.
You're real. You yeah. really hear me.
You see what I'm saying? So the Holy Spirit can have you doing all kinds of weird stuff. You just don't know. You just don't know why. A lot of times we don't know why we had to do it or we're let to do it. Like our last podcast was abortion.
Yeah.
And Yusuf didn't want to do it. I didn't know. I just felt this urge in my spirit to do it. I didn't know how I wanted to go about it. Then God laid on my text, Yusuf. He went along with it. Then it's like, as soon as he opened the computer, it was confirmed to you why we had to do it, man. Yeah, it ended up being one of our longest podcasts. One of the best ones.
Yeah, it was deep. It was deep. And if y'all haven't checked that out, man, go check that out. It's a lot of information.
Yes. Yes.
The reason why I didn't want to do it, because our talk show was based on talking about elephants in the room, things that between the church and the government and just, you know, main stage audiences don't really want to cover. And, you know, we all know abortion,
it's been a hot topic for years.
Yeah, I mean, since like the 60s, 50s, 60s, people been talking about abortion. However, as long as I've been hearing about pro-abortion, this and that, I never knew the detailed things that I learned on that podcast mm-hmm. of how procedures are done and how at least 70% of the women going in have no idea what the procedure consists of. And it's because, honestly, if they told you, we're going to do this and do that, these people would have second thoughts. Like, for real, they would literally go through the 9 months and probably rather give the child up versus going through that. Yeah. So it's a swindling way of how they do it. It was very informative. And if y'all haven't checked it out, man, y'all need to go check that out.
Exactly.
It's just a lot of good information.
And so for those who are hearing from the Holy Spirit, honor it. Listen to it, because there's a lot of people. You are a major part of a bigger plan, mm-hmm. bigger picture, a piece to a puzzle, if you will.
Right, right.
So when the Holy Spirit is giving you something to do, it's very important. You know, someone's life is at stake. Someone's salvation can be at stake. It can be anything. It can be something for you. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit can tell you, go here. You look down on the ground, be $100.
Right.
Like, I literally had that happen last week. I found $60.
Wow.
And it was like, I was in the store. There's a dude I hadn't seen for a while. We was cutting it. Like, yo, what's going on? How you doing? We talking.
Uh-huh.
And we talked for like a long time. Looked at the floor. Like, there's a piece of paper on the floor. No one else saw it. And I said, yo. And so I told my daughter to pick it up. And I said, no. Okay, cool. So I folded it back up.
Uh-huh.
And then the store's closing, so they put us out of the store. Like, okay, well, we're closing. Like, you know,
they put you out of the store.
They did. They put us out of the store. They said, we're closing. Like, all right. And we wasn't even shot. At this point, we just sitting there talking. They didn't even hold them up.
Right.
And so we looked at the note, and it had, like, a name on it. It's like, I'm not going to keep this money.
Right.
Not going to keep it at all. And I'm like, okay, go turn it back in. They wouldn't let us in the store. So like, okay, God, this is definitely for us. So we received it.
Right.
Took it, and you know, and it came in handy because I had to buy school clothes.
Awesome.
You know, so that was like a blessing. Like, thank you, Lord. And it's a two-part to that, because that's the sowing and reaping we talk about. Because I'm not bragging on myself, but there are principles at play that I exercise and I explain it to my kids. When you sow, you reap.
Bottom line, whether it's a good sow or a bad sow, when you sow, you're going to reap. Bottom line.
But I don't want to linger too much on that topic of how the Holy Spirit talks to you, because it talks to people differently. People receive it differently. But when he's talking to you, it comes in a way where you know it. Sometimes it's other confirmations.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I'm like, you know when it's him talking to you, you know. And like I said, we gave words with the world. World calls it gut feelings.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when it comes to a woman, a lot of people say woman's intuition. All that is the Holy Ghost. It's something
it's
you can't...
to it's, call it. That's
yeah,
exactly
you know
it is,
to call yeah. it. You know you feel something. You can't quite put your finger on what it is you're feeling. But you know it's something you're feeling, and you know you're not wrong for what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That be the main thing. You know you're not crazy, and you know you're not wrong for what it is you feel, and you know you didn't put that feeling on you.
Yeah.
So you know it is the Holy Spirit, people. You know, and He does talk to people in so many different ways. Like, I see visions. I hear His voice, and I'm like, Step. I also get something. It's almost like something burning, but it's not a painful burn.
Yeah.
It's a desire to get out whatever it is that He's put on me. And honestly, I always know when I'm taking too long, because that desire starts to turn into weight sitting on my chest.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel like I can't get off until whatever it is needs to be said or done is said or done.
So. Now, with that being said, that's why you get those texts from me at 7 in the morning. Like, what we should talk about on the show. I'm serious, man.
So that's that 7 o'clock a.m. Texas. Yes.
Like, yo, we need to talk about this. This is why, blah, blah, blah. That's where that comes from. Glad that.
All right, I'm not going to shout out to you. You just be up that early every morning going to work, and that's why you
hit me out. But that's when it hits me. Every time, it's like a certain time I sit down, my mind is clear, and it hits me like, bam, this is what we need to talk about. It could be after I had another topic we was going to talk about, I'm like, yo, we need to do this one first.
Uh-huh.
And it's been the same thing with you when we talked about other ones. Like, it's been crazy. But anyway, moving on.
So we got five reasons why you really need the Holy Spirit.
I'm ready to hear this.
Number one, the Holy Spirit gives us supernatural power. Jesus, you can find this in Acts 1:8. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Right about now is when you should cry out to the Holy Spirit to come out and fall upon you again. That's the perfect time to cry out. Number two is, the Holy Spirit gives us supernatural gifts. You can find this in 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. And pretty much it's the 4-11. I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but read 1 Corinthians 12:4-11, and it tells you all about the supernatural gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us.
Yeah, y'all gonna have to do y'all work. We're gonna
give. We don't give you everything. Yeah, now,
y'all gotta,
you know,
study some scriptures. Show your study to show yourselves approved.
We got a certain amount of time, and I'm like, you know, these, and it's multiple scriptures on here. But I'm giving you, for those who like to study, if you study and you got the blue letter Bible on your laptop, you know what I'm saying? You know how, because people who study know what the blue letter Bible is. If you still kind of old school, which I'm kind of both, you still got your Strong's Concordance. You know what I'm saying? When you look up 1 Corinthians and what was the other one? Acts 1:8, you're going to see a list of all these different scriptures all regarding the Holy Spirit. Because they're all going to be in one if you want to look at it. So the other one, the third, number three is, the Holy Spirit helps us build our faith. And I'm going to just read this from Jude 20. Says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. I pray in the Spirit for at least, this is what the person is saying. She prays for at least 30 minutes a day, and in her spirit, and spreads up and throughout the day. So me, I talk to God all day. You know, me talking to God is me praying.
Yeah.
But I like to have, I like to feel like I'm having a dialect with Him. So the job that I do, I'm by myself a lot. So it gives me, and then, you know, everybody has their places where they feel like they can reach God. Some people have a prayer closet. Some people are in the shower. Some people driving. Mine's is when I'm driving.
Mine too, actually.
Yeah, driving. So I talk to Him a lot. So pretty much the Holy Spirit helps you build up your faith. And you do that by staying in constant communication with the Lord. So that's how your relationship gets stronger and stronger. Like, how can a relationship be dull if you're constantly talking to your Father?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't stress that enough.
Yeah, you really can't. You really can't. And honestly, that is something that you probably have to consistently tell yourself on a regular basis until you realize you find yourself just talking to God all the time without having to remind yourself.
Yeah.
See, when you actually, and I'm not going to say real, like people have fake relationships. When your relationship with God is in debt, so don't want nobody feel offended. When your relationship is in debt, you don't have to think about what am I going to talk to you about today, or did I talk to you today? Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah, everybody humans. Like, okay, two nights ago, when I got my car and started going to work, it was like 12 o'clock at night. And I realized that I hadn't spoke to the Lord all day, personally.
Yeah.
I was saying things and the belovedness of him, but I had not talked to him.
Yeah, I get you.
So the first thing I did after giving him praise for who he is and, you know, and everything he is, first thing I did was start apologizing to him because I was like, God, I'm sorry. Like a whole day done went by and I have not, I felt bad.
Yeah.
And you will honestly feel bad when you don't speak to him. It's almost like hurting his feelings, like my child didn't talk to me. It's almost like your kids come home from school, walking past you, you fixing dinner, feeding them all, and they ain't saying nothing to you.
Yeah, right?
You know what I'm saying? And then 12 o'clock, now it's time to go to bed. They're like, ooh, I ain't saying nothing to you all day.
God probably like, Negro, I done gave you this day. I done woke you up. I done fed you.
I done blew brand new breath of life in your lung and everything.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to talk to me? You know what I'm saying?
All right. Yeah, so okay. Number four is the Holy Spirit gives life and strength to our bodies. You can find that also in Romans 8 and 11. Number five, it says the Holy Spirit helps us resist temptation. You can also find that in Romans 8. That'll be Romans 8:13. Also in Galatians 5:16. Read that. You know, it says it talks about, you know, walking in the Spirit, you know, and not being of your lust and your flesh when you walk in the Spirit, because you can't. It's impossible to be walking in the Spirit and still have be of love, of lust and of the flesh.
You mean succumb to it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. Impossible. You can't be hearing from God and about to be on a mission, all of a sudden lust and stuff. It, like they don't even match. Like at that point in time where you're honed in on the Holy Spirit, lust and temptation can't even come in. Because he has you captivated at that moment in time. And that's just, and honestly,
I got a story about that.
Go ahead.
And it reminded me of that, because I thought about it back then. I never realized, I mean, I thought about it, and I kind of didn't think about it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been in a strip club once I was saved. Okay. Let me say.
You said
it. It's two things people probably thinking. No, I wasn't the stripper. I was actually going in.
You sure?
Yeah. I was only, I'm one at home, but not but
you
not.
Better say that, Doc.
But, no, I was actually going in to get a friend out. Like, I know he was dealing with something. He was in the strip club. I was upset with him, but it's like, let me go in here and get this dude out of here.
Right.
And I literally, and I'm Steph Swig. Y'all know me. Y'all done heard the other podcast. I literally went in there. In a strip club, the women ain't ugly in strip clubs.
Uh-huh.
Sat down and talked to a butt-naked woman with it not being any issue. In a strip club.
Right.
So now, religious folks would say I shouldn't have been in the first place. Yeah. However, I was in there to get him out.
But the whole point is what you just say. Like, when the Holy Spirit was over you and you saw nothing.
Yeah.
The lustful thoughts that you would have normally had never even entered your mind because you was on a mission.
Yeah, it was weird. It's like, I felt like I should be interested in this right now, but I'm so focused on my mission.
I should be turned on a little bit right now.
I'm so focused on my mission, it didn't matter. And my friend was like, she's probably the most turned on by sitting here talking to you, because you're probably the first person that ever came in here and not looked at like she was an object. I'm sitting there talking like, yo, I'm talking to the stripper now about him. And he, like, it was a real weird situation, but it was really cool to sit there in a strip club, talk to a butt-naked stripper, sage and all, and not have any lust issue. It was crazy. My mind was blown. Like, wow.
Man.
So it really made me think about that when you brought that up, talking about the lust being blocked, and you're like, it is impossible.
Yeah.
If you walk in the Spirit, it is impossible.
Where is it at? Okay. And just to let some people know, you know, we got a lot of people out here, man. You know, through my life, I've met people who love God, really want to rock with God hard, but refuse to go to church. And my thing is, you know, I'm not, my thing is no judgment here. I have no, because I've been in church all my life, and when I say I get it, why people would not want to come to church, but what I do want to understand, what I do want to put out there is the Holy Spirit not only empowers the believers with gifts, but works actively in the church and even appoints church leaders. And here's an example. Acts 20 and 28. Mm-hmm. And this is biblical, people. So all you folks feeling like, you know, the Holy Spirit don't have nothing to do with church, the actual building, lies. He does. Acts 20 and 28 says, and I'm reading from the Message version, just layman terms, plain English. Now it is up to you. Be on your toes, both for yourselves and your congregation of sheep, the Holy Spirit has put you in charge of these people, God's people they are, to guard and protect them. God himself thought they were worth dying for.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, that's powerful, man. So, you know, honestly, y'all, respect them folks that's in charge, man. You know what I'm saying? Now, they are human beings, and true indeed. You know, we as humans, we think with our humanly mind sometimes, and we're not always being Holy Ghost led. However, God did appoint them to God. The one, like, God ain't appointed everybody. Folks just, you know, take a couple classes that they call to preach, and God ain't never called them to do none of that. I'm not talking about you people. I'm talking about the ones who were literally called by the Lord and who have established and set up churches, who are doing things they're just supposed to be doing. And I'm mainly talking to the people who are always anti this and anti that when it comes to the actual church building itself. Notice I said the building, not the person, because I do know, if y'all didn't, if you're supposed to know, if you don't know, we are the church. Like, us as a human being, like, Step is the church. I'm the church. You know what I'm saying? The people that you congregate with are the church. So, we have the capability and the power to do everything that Christ wants us to do within ourselves without needing an actual building. The building is for us to come together to sup with one another. And believe it or not, people, whether y'all want to deny that or not, that's biblically too. So, God does say come together often, you know, saying with people who are all believers and praise and worship him. So all you folks that love God and don't want to go to church, I'm just trying to tell you that's kind of error. Yeah. Like, you don't want to believe it, but it's still error.
If you're not going to church, I hope you're having church wherever you are.
Yeah, at least be having church wherever you are. And, you know, for the most part, God appointed you a shepherd somewhere. So you walk around here freelance Christian or freelance,
no,
you know what I'm saying?
There's no commitment.
There's no exactly. But a lot of people, they like it like that. And that's just because they have.
It's appealing to an extent.
Yeah, it is. Now it's church is appealing to people who like to do church, unorthodox people who are unorthodox don't like to do church because. Yeah. It's just not appealing to them.
Yeah,
it's something
I'm,
that,
I'm more on that. I go to church. I'm more on that.
And
that
I'm on that too. I'm on that. I just realized that it's almost like, you know, the old law thing. You can't beat up people for eating pork, but you gonna sit over there and eat you some shellfish on top of that. Like, you know what I'm saying? If it's gonna be one thing, it gotta be all of them. So what I'm ready. So even though I'm full blown 100% anti religion. I hate religion.
Jesus didn't preach religion though.
Right. So my thing is that we've a lot of people have tied church to religion, and it's very true, because you get into a religious mindset of doing the same repetitive thing every single week, not realizing that, me personally, I don't think that was God's intentions to have a program that you go by when you come to church on Sundays and have a choir sing this selection and that selection and stuff like that. Like, now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there's something wrong with it, but it becomes religious when you refuse to switch up from that.
Yeah.
Like, example would be, it took for my pastor, 5 years we've been our church. He's just got to the point where he's revamping our entire church. Okay. Like, to where, when you walk in our church right now, our church has been standing for 100 years. So, it has the old 100-year setting. You know, the pulpit, you know, the huge communion table in the front, you know, like the regular churches that you would go to, like your grandma used to go to, with the pews and all that. Man, he's revamping it to where the pulpit now will look like a stage. The only thing he wants up there is just the little podium for people to speak on. And we're going to have a program, but my church, we hardly ever go by the program.
It's a guideline, right?
It's a guideline.
Yeah.
However, we still do the basics of the program, which is still religion. Meaning, no matter how much Holy Spirit takes over the choir, still going to sing. Or no matter how this matter, this still going to happen. Like, it's always trying to come back to the program after the Holy Spirit has already interrupted everything and started shifting things. But mentally, it's what we've been trained to have some type of, and it's a part of structure. So again, I've been in church all my life. I'm not bashing it, because these people came up with structure so that it just won't be willy-nilly, why not, like how we do this. But in other countries, they do that. There is no program. Every time they come together, it's like, what are we going to discuss? What's on our hearts?
See, that's more appealing to me, because I think it leaves more room for the Holy Spirit to lead. Because at that point, you have to really depend on. You don't have no distractions. Like, you don't have no preconceived ideas of how it's going to go. So, like, Holy Spirit is truly up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even this podcast. Mm-hmm. Man, we struggled with this for 2 weeks on how we was going to format.
That's true.
Because we had three different topics, and we like, how many shows is it? How are we going to do this topics? How are we going to do the shows? And I pray, like, God, have your way. Because, I searched for information, like, God, it's going to be all you, because I am tapped out. I don't know. Whatever you want to do, however you want to go about it, we need you.
Right.
And that's how God gets the glory.
Right.
But yeah, it would be dope to go to church that's fully led by the Holy Spirit. I've seen services like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very appealing to me. I've been to church where the pastor got up and he didn't even have a lesson. We actually broke off into groups and had a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to churches where he got up to preach and they just had a prayer session. The whole service was nothing but prayer.
I've been to services like
and
that.
And that's amazing.
Too.
Yeah, like, sometimes God knows, like, yo, they don't need a message. They need to get some prayers off.
Yeah, and they get some worship in, you know, some stuff like that. And I've been to services where we start off singing praise and worship, and the whole service is praise and worship. It never leaves that entity, and it's because everything that God wants to communicate through us, He's communicating through these songs.
Yeah.
You know, and the praise and the worship itself. So
I agree.
I love it when it goes so far left from the actual program. It just really blesses me, and I'm really glad I stuck with my church, because, you know, I opted out a couple times, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, you know, I'm a PK kid, I'm a preacher's kid, so I've seen church so many different ways, and a lot of people don't know church kids get burnt out the quickest.
Yeah, because your whole life is church.
Right, and then you see so much behind the scene that makes you second guess folks calling, you know what I'm saying, and then your relationship with God themselves, but that's how you realize that no matter, your gifts come without repentance. You learn that really quickly when you're a preacher's kid, you know what I'm saying, because Even your parents, you have to separate them from mom to when they get up on the pulpit to preach.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not the woman that was just yelling at you this morning telling you to find your freaking socks.
Yeah, you gotta get that to
mom. And then 2 hours later, she's up there preaching and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? And me as a kid, I struggled with, the difference, because in my mind, she was yelling. My mom never did the hocking, like she's running out of breath and stuff like that. She was always a teacher. And then the preacher came second, but she was always a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But her tone, when she would get excited, it would be a yell. Yeah. And it sounds like how she's yelling at me in the house, you know what I'm saying? So as a kid, it was hard when she get on there and start preaching, and she get to yelling. I'm jumping, thinking she's yelling at me about something back at the house, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, a lot of kids, like, come from where I come from, couldn't get past that.
You know,
and don't even go to church anymore because what they saw behind the scenes and their parents was preachers and whatnot, and just don't have nothing to do with church at all.
And I want to address that too. Then we got to get back to the Holy Spirit part of it. But it's like, I think as people, especially believers, we have to realize that just like you, me, your mom, the pastors, we're all vessels.
Right.
So a vessel can be all cracked up, but that doesn't devalue what's in the vessel, which is the word of God, the anointing that you're referring to.
Right.
Like, if I got a vessel, if I got a vase and it's cracked on the side but it's full of gold, who cares?
Yeah.
Gold. So it doesn't mean the gold is bad. Like, oh, that vase is messy, so the gold must be bad. No, it's still gold. So it don't matter what the vessel it is, because God can use anybody's feet.
Yes, He can.
Anybody.
And has.
Yeah, he used a donkey to speak. What's that say? What's that say about his requirements for us to speak? Like, if he can use an ass to speak, we can definitely talk. So we can definitely qualify if you're called to preach. But I want y'all to think about that. We're human too. So even, I'm not saying we should be examples, but at the same time, don't have such high standards that you can't hear God speaking through us.
Right.
We are all nothing more than vessels.
Right.
He's pouring in us and we pour out. That's how it works.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I would just some more scriptures. I'm gonna just throw them out there, y'all. Read Acts, and I ain't gonna give you the verses. Just give you the chapters, because it's all a good read. For people who don't know, Acts tells it gives you the story of when the Holy Spirit pretty much hit the earth hard.
Came on the scene
for real. Now, the Holy Spirit always been here, and you know. Sadly, I was raised being taught that the Holy Spirit never was here until, you know, they were up in that room for 40 days, 50 days or something like that.
You talking about the upper room?
Upper room. It was in the upper room. And then the Holy Spirit came and everybody was drunken and speaking in different tongues and languages and stuff like that. I was raised being taught that that's the first time the Holy Spirit ever came. It wasn't until 3 years ago I realized the Holy Spirit is mentioned even in the Old Testament.
And I don't want to talk to you about that, because I had that conversation with my wife and my kids, and I was saying the same thing that you were taught. Like, well, the Holy Spirit came when Christ gave it to us, the Spirit. Mm-hmm. But I was like, the Holy Spirit was here prior to that, because there's several scriptures that support that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to decipher the difference, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because
right.
Because obviously the Spirit was here. Like, excuse me. But it's like when Jesus got baptized...
Mm-hmm.
It says the Spirit of God came down on him like a dove.
Exactly.
Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And you notice at that point, that's when the miracle started. That's that power. Mm-hmm. That's when the miracles are the power of the Holy Spirit.
See, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, because you just gave an awesome link to the Holy Spirit in the Bible.
Yeah.
To when, and it's all that's amazing you just said it, because I never thought about that. Like, it's when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, that Spirit came down like a dove, but the key thing is, that's when all the miracles started happening.
Yes,
after
yes,
that.
Yes.
So that's so, and I see, I don't even, the scriptures that I have don't even touch that.
Wow.
So that's awesome.
That's dope.
That you brought that up. So I don't know the top of my head, people, but if you read the Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, some people say John is too, read any one of those 3 to 4 books, and it talks about when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and then he went out and physically started his ministry to heal people, but he needed that power before he started doing that,
yes,
which was of the Holy Spirit. That's this. That's really dope. That's
yes,
really dope.
And he will tell you that he doesn't do it in his own power. He,
mm-hmm,
he will tell you that.
He does that every single time, too.
You got anything more?
Yeah, so just people read Acts 8, Acts chapter 8, read Acts chapter 11, Acts 13, Acts 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 1. Reading all of those chapters right there. If you just read all of Acts, if you've never read Acts before, read Acts. It talks about them being up in the upper room. And this is after. This is after Christ has already died.
Yeah, because
right?
He said that's when, because he told me he died, and he when he went up to heaven, he's gonna send
the Comforter,
the Comforter, Holy Spirit,
right, Holy Spirit. So, and when he sent the Comforter, it came like a wave hitting the whole nation, where people were crazy because we was watching people talking different languages and stuff like that.
And people thought they were drunk, and they said, no, they're not drunk, because it's too early for them to be drunk. So
we were drunk in the Holy Spirit.
Because they hadn't seen that before.
Exactly. Something they never seen it before. So it's just, so all that is a good read, man. And just know, people, that you need the Holy Spirit. You can have the Father, you can have the Son, but you will not be complete without the Holy Spirit.
I hear you, man. I agree. Mm-hmm. I think if you just are worshiping the Father or the Son and you have no Holy Spirit, then to me it becomes religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no spiritual ground, and it seemed like that's kind of what Christ was getting at with the Pharisees, because they had all the right teachers and observances and everything, and they was sticklers for the law, but they were breaking it because they didn't have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And it's like,
go ahead.
But you know, as a believer, you have to operate in the Holy Spirit. Like, I can't even explain fully how important it is, but it's like, it's not about what you can and can't do. It's about, that's what gives you power to do what you are called to do.
Right.
Your job on this planet fully relies on the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Like, it gives you the power, it gives you the guidance. It is very crucial that you get to know that Holy Spirit and understand the voice and able to listen. Say, each yes leads to another yes. Say, small yes. As everybody always wants to think, you know, especially when you call your son, it's a big step. No, the first step is just saying yes to that.
Right.
God is not going to give you the full plan.
Right.
Like, if he wants you to build a skyscraper, he's not going to say, I want you to build a skyscraper. He tell you, I want you to go here. I want you to get concrete mixed. I want you to get water. Each step leads to another step. But as he's able to trust you with what he's giving you, he gives you more. It says, I cannot trust you with little, but I can't trust you much if I can't trust you a little.
Exactly.
And that goes with the assignments, too. Like, if he's giving you something, I mean, it's also taking care of the stuff he's giving, but if he's giving you an assignment, if I can't trust you to handle a little platform of talking to one person on the street, I can't handle you. I can't trust you to preach my gospel to thousands of people. So if you're the type of person who wants more than what you already have, you got to show. So you have to show your parent. You got to be able to be trustworthy with the little stuff he's giving you. But always remember, trust, lean, depend on the Holy Spirit and hear it, because that's the power that gives you the ability to overcome the temptations and to live out your purpose and call.
Right. And we're going to end it right here. We're going to end it right here with, and at the end of all that, you got to pray.
You got to pray.
You just got to pray. You know what I'm saying? You can be tired of, but that prayer is that communication all day long, and people need to know who to pray to.
Who are we supposed to pray to? You know?
I know a lot of folks pray to Jesus.
You ain't supposed to pray to Jesus.
You ain't?
You ain't supposed to pray to Jesus. No. We ain't. You know what?
Are you serious?